What's up? What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of The Periodic Table. This is the weekly science news show that we do where, well, we break down the science news of the week. And are we experts by any means? Most of the time, absolutely not. But that's okay because this is just, well, it's one big virtual science classroom and we are all here to learn and grow and be a little better together. And I'm, of course, your host, Brandon Hanna. You might know me formerly as a host over at AfterBuzz TV, the Popcorn Talk Network, or the Movie Trivia Schmodown currently. But what you might not know is that I'm also a mechanical engineer with many years of experience in the aerospace industry. And, well, I enjoy science, and I hope you all do, too. And that's why you're here. But you, me, we're not the only ones that are here. I'm joined by two amazing co-hosts today, starting off to my immediate left, your right. He's a host. He's a producer. You might have seen him over at the PJ Campbell Network. Gotta give you ideas to who he is. And he's also the head writer of the Movie Trivia Schmodown. It is PJ Campbell. Welcome.
Hey, man. Thanks. I'm glad to be here. It's the second week in a row. I'm excited to talk science. Like you were talking about, this is like your science classroom. Week in and week out, I get to teach movie trivia. That's what I do in the Schmodown. So to take a little break from that, let's talk a little science. It's a actually helpful for the world versus me just putting out movie knowledge. So let's do it.
Of course, it's always nice to take a break and talk about something different. And of course, if you know me, if you know PJ, then you're probably familiar with our next guest. She's an actress, host, writer. You might have seen her over at The World Girls, also AfterBuzz TV and the Popcorn Talk Network, and also just maybe as the best manager in the Movie Trivia Schmodown. It is Roxy Stryer.
Hey, guys. Yes. Oh, I don't know you're ever going to look at me the same after today. I'm really nervous about this one. Ask me to talk about nerd stuff all day and there I am, but ask me to talk about science and you're about to see a major hole for your manager. Whoa, this is going to be, I'm going to really give it a whirl.
I love where your head's at. And hey, thankfully science movies is not a slice on the Schmodown.
I would be in trouble. In trouble.
Well, I think it's I'm thrilled to have you here, Roxy. It's true. Let's all of us give science a whirl today. And we have a great show for you all. A new device gets power from 5G signals grabbed from the air. We're going to talk about that, but also brain implants turned imagined handwriting into text on screen. This is something similar to, I think, a few other topics PJ has been on the show for, so can't wait to dive into it with you once again. And of course, we do have a special segment. I am bringing back Healthy Habits. We're going to talk about the worst types of drinks for your liver, according to science, and a few things that might surprise you there. But before we get into all that fun stuff, let's jump right back up to the top and talk about our number one story for this week. And that is new device gets power from 5G signals plucked right out of thin air. And this is coming to us from Science News for Students. And as always, guys, links to all the articles are in the description down below if you want to check them out for yourself. But this article starts off painting a bit of a picture for us. It says a few years ago, Aline Eid was sitting in a restaurant sharing popcorn with Jimmy Hester. They weren't just snacking, though. They were puzzling over a tough problem. How could they tap into the power of invisible signals that send data to cell phones, computers, and other devices? If they could manage this, people might someday run their electronics without batteries or cords. And as they brainstormed, an idea took shape. And I know Roxy is super excited to talk about this story. But the heart of their innovation is a special gadget, actually, and it helps gather wireless signals sent out by cell phone towers. And we're going to get into this a little bit. It's something called a Rotman lens that they've used, which is a device that looks like a flat metal spider. And I do have a picture of the Rotman lens here for you all guys today. This is the device used to collect 5G cell phone signals and transmit it into power that you can then use to power your own cell phone and other electronic devices. And this idea is still kind of in its infancy. This is new technology, but there's a lot to unpack here. There's a lot to unravel. I myself had to read this story a couple times to make sense of a few things, but I think it's really particularly interesting. And PJ, I want to throw it over to you first. What was your main takeaways from this article? Were you curious at this idea? I know there's a lot of false information out there about 5G in particular. So I want to know how this story caught your attention. Are you looking forward to one day potentially having your cell phone powered from 5G?
Yeah, look, I mean, the whole story and everything about it, trying to find a way to harness energy that's not going anywhere, is obviously like such a cool and different idea. And they even talked about like, yeah, it could start with cell phones, but eventually it could be like, it could power your house. It could be powering your lights. Like, that's a huge deal in a world where we never know exactly where electricity can continue to go. Like, energy eventually would have to run out in some capacity, and them just kind of finding new ways to invent, and that could make life easier, better, cheaper for people even, like, depending on what it is. And that's a huge deal. Energy is already an expensive thing. I think we all know that. You guys live in Los Angeles. I live in Arizona. Running the AC costs a lot of money. Imagine if we could cut that down just with like the use of energy out of nowhere.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, to think about, you know, a 5G signal that's just going to your phone to actually be used to gather, to capture power, because as it turns out, for me to try to simplify this as best as I can, 5G networks, the 5G transmission is actually a microwave. It's a higher frequency microwave than what we're used to previous phone, cell phone tower radio waves being. And microwaves are like, they in and of themselves have power. They can be used to power various electronic devices. And so we have scientists now saying, hey, what these 5G signals do is they transmit information to your phone, but it doesn't dissipate the microwave. The microwave, it drops the signal off to your phone and then it just keeps going. And that is just, that microwave that just keeps on traveling is power that is completely going to waste. So what if we could capture this power and use it to charge our same electronic devices that are also gathering information from these signals? And it could potentially be a lot for us going in the future. Like you said, PJ, not just using to power our phones and our other electronic devices, but maybe power our homes in a way. I know that could be a bit of a stretch, but before I go on any further, Roxy, I want to throw it over to you next.
Yeah, professors, I have my first question.
Yay.
Go right ahead.
Okay, until you were just speaking, I thought I knew what a microwave was. Every time the article mentioned a microwave, is that something that is not the thing that I put my food in?
So the thing that you put your food in is a microwave oven. So it actually emits microwaves into your
food. What is a microwave?
It's, how do I describe what a microwave is? It's kind of like a radio signal. It's,
that makes things hot.
Basically what it does,
I told you guys what you're getting yourselves into.
No, it's perfectly fine. And if anyone watching has a better explanation than I do, because I'm not always the best at explaining things, let us know in the live chat right now. But it basically, what happens with your microwave oven is it kind of shakes everything up on a molecular level inside of your food. Anything that has, you know, your food has like water molecules inside of it, and it's kind of it shakes up the water molecules really quickly, and it forces them to get hotter and hotter and hotter. That's kind of why, like, when you put food in the microwave in like a paper plate or like on a paper towel or like a ceramic dish or something, like the thing that you're putting your food in doesn't necessarily get hot, but the food itself gets hot. And that's why, because there's water inside of your food that the microwave oven kind of shakes up and heats up. That's so kind of the best way I know how to explain it.
Where else are there microwaves other than in a microwave?
Well, you can use microwaves like we have here with, and don't worry, the microwaves coming out of your cell phone tower is not gonna cook you or anything like that.
But that's what's in the cell phone tower is a microwave.
It emits microwaves, but it's at different frequencies. It's used for a different purpose. But it's used to transmit data. It's almost like a different type of a radio wave, a radio frequency,
so, if you will. Okay, I'm going to tell you guys what my understanding of this article was, and then you guys can tell me if I have this right or wrong.
I'm so excited for this very moment right now.
I read it three times. I didn't know that they weren't talking about microwave ovens. I was like, holy crap, my microwave is going to charge my phone. So now I know that that's not the case. So they're all different things that we use to charge devices at this point in time. I am familiar. I don't know what 3G or 4G means, but I know that 4G is a thing. Now with 5G and with whatever this spider looking thing is, all the towers around us would send their rays to what I have here, and it would charge so that it actually didn't even need a battery anymore. Like it would be, it would, there was no battery to it. That was what I'm understanding based on these two cool cats who were like, we don't want to keep charging our phone and also the rest of the world. Am I getting this right?
I think you're getting a large amount of it. Yeah. The article does talk about how this could eliminate the use of certain batteries that are known using precious metals and contaminants and pollutants for the environment. So that could be a positive takeaway from using such a technology, as we can eliminate the use for certain batteries.
But this sounds scary to me, because again, as somebody who fully believes in science but clearly doesn't understand it at all, is that harmful for people?
No, the way it's being used, it's not. And I noticed here in the chat, we have a few people who have come to my rescue to better explain what a microwave is. So we have Jake Iacovetta looking like he plucked it right out of Wikipedia, but that's all right. He says it's an electromagnetic wave with a wavelength in the range of 0.001 and 0.3 meters, which is shorter than that of a normal radio wave, but longer than those of infrared radiation. And we have here Garth McMurray kind of summing it up, saying the wavelength of a microwave is somewhere between infrared and radio waves. So it's just kind of, it's basically a wavelength of lights, basically. Like it's light waves and radio waves. They're all kind of very similar. They all travel at the same speed, and they're all, some of them, what we see as visible light is what we can see to our naked eye, right? But infrared radiation, stuff that you'd be able to see through like a night vision goggle that can see in infrared, that's basically heat radiation. So you'd be able to see it with a pair of night vision goggles, but you can't see it with your naked eye. So it's a wavelength of light that you can't see with your naked eye.
And that's what a microwave is too.
Yeah, but it can be used to transmit information, like, you know, basically like a radio signal into our cell phones, our computers, or if you're talking to someone who's on the moon or on Mars, you can use microwaves to communicate information back and forth. And
on the moon?
Yes, I believe, and I could be mistaken, but I'm pretty sure during the Apollo space program, they also used microwaves to communicate with the Apollo astronauts.
That sounds accurate. Sounds accurate.
No, yeah, I was thinking the same thing.
But we also have here Garth also kind of talking about microwave ovens versus using microwaves to transmit information. Garth here is obviously once again saying that a microwave is an electromagnetic wave, and a microwave oven uses an electron tube called a magnetron. And like,
any relation to Megatron?
I don't know. We'd have to
get my language.
Yeah, we'd have to get back on that. Decepticon, yeah. Autobot. Either way, the food's getting cooked. Right. But Garth also says that, kind of like I tried to communicate, but in a much briefer term, saying microwaves cause water molecules in food to vibrate, which is what produces the heat. You know, like anything, like if you shake something or if you rub two things together, it creates friction and it generates heat. That's kind of what's going down on a molecular level in the water that's in your food.
But that's why it sounds dangerous to me, because we're water, right? We've got mad water in us. Mm-hmm. And if you think about like all the waves that are coming at us, if they're all trying to charge my phone, aren't some of those waves hitting me?
I think with a microwave oven, it's much more direct. And as Garth said, it uses an electron tube in a microwave oven. And I think that makes a difference. I would have to get back to you all on the specifics on exactly why being inside of a microwave oven and having 5G signals or other microwaves pass you by, they're very different from one another. There's a safety factor involved. I wouldn't be able to get into specifics on that right now. You're bringing good questions to the show, though.
I'm just doing the people's work right now.
If I'm completely stumped, that's a really good question.
Well, I ask because, you know, they say that we're not supposed to hold our phones to our heads because they don't know any of this stuff yet. I mean, they know some things, but they just, new technology hasn't been around long enough for us to know what's dangerous and what's not. And with the uptick, and we'll talk about brain stuff in a little bit, but with the uptick of brain diseases, brain cancer and Alzheimer's and all of the things that are going on up here, I get worried when we're putting more waves out there, although I would really like to stop using a phone charger. So I would like scientists to do their work and do the right thing. And I believe in science, but also, I don't know, it feels weird.
Yeah, and I can understand the skepticism of it all, but I feel like when you're inside of a microwave oven, it's much more concentrated, much more direct, and that's what makes it dangerous. But when a signal is being transmitted over long distances, it's not like concentrated enough, high enough of a frequency or whatever to kind of cause any type of damage to your body or your cells or anything like that. But very, very good questions. And if I learn more in my research, I will be sure to tweet about it and let you guys all know exactly what's going on there. But really interesting, I think, piece of technology. And I kind of want to get into here the Rotman lens. They say it looks like a metal tarantula. And this is a device that normally transmits signals rather than receiving signals. So it's kind of, they're treating it as a new piece of technology, which I thought was pretty interesting. Instead of putting power into this device and using it to transmit a signal, it's actually, they're flipping it on its head and making it receive these microwave signals and then converting those microwave signals into electricity, which I thought was pretty inventive and pretty cool. And just in general, these microwave signals that are just out there going to waste, whether or not they're harming us, they're going to waste. And if there's a way that we can capture those signals and use it to power our phones, I mean, I think that's a pretty good thing. PJ, wouldn't you agree on this?
I mean, I 100% agree. And that's kind of my thing, right? We don't want wasted energy. And it's a fine way to turn it around and do something with it. Again, if we can find a way to harness things that we're not using, and it also, like you brought up earlier, the idea of it can get rid of batteries that we're using for, like, that are taking actual things that we need in the world, and get rid of that and find a way to turn it around and make things more useful and environmentally friendly. That is the exact way we need to be going.
Yeah, exactly. I think anytime you could take something that's going to waste and use it to generate power or do something productive, to me, that's always a win. And so they've tested this new device in a lab across a distance of 2.8 meters or 9 feet. And they were able to have some level of success with testing this device over small distances in a lab. And they were actually able to generate 6 microwatts of power, which is not a lot of power. To put that into perspective, charging a typical battery for one day's cell phone actually takes about 6 million microwatts or 6 watts of power. But this new invention would have enough power to run most sensors and microchips. And like I kind of touched on before, this can kind of eliminate the need for certain batteries and eliminate certain, you know, pollution and things that are harmful for the environment. So Roxy, I want to throw it back over to you. Knowing that right now it can only generate 6 microwatts of power, and that is a factor of a million smaller than what it would take to charge your phone, does that put your mind at ease at all about the levels of danger of these microwaves in the air?
Well, I think they got a lot of work to do. They got to up their power, and I understand, but you got to start somewhere, and this seems like a good start. Will you put the, Brandon, can you put the picture back up of the of the Rottner device again? Can you tell me, so you said this is a metal device. Is it on like a piece of paper, or the paper is part of it, or what parts is the wood thing, the metal thing?
So that looks like, to me, it's all that crazy design you're seeing. That's metal circuitry that I think you could probably, that probably gets like printed onto like a ceramic circuit board that could then probably be wired somehow into your cell phone if this can all kind of be successfully done according to plan. So I think that's just kind of an example that that looks, to me, that looks like the aluminum circuitry itself. But what you would actually do is, I'm pretty sure you're all somewhat familiar with circuit boards, and they kind of have like this like green ceramic that like has metal and like that imprinted circuitry on it, like you can see there in that image, but also has like little things sticking out like capacitors and resistors and things of that nature. I think that's probably more along the lines of what you would expect. This pattern would be printed onto a circuit board that is wired into your phone. And this pattern kind of works as an antenna that collects these microwaves and maybe has a direct line into your phone's battery, or however it would work. That this kind of is just an antenna, a very small metallic antenna that would go onto a circuit card, if that makes any sense at all.
Yeah, it does. Like, how do they come up with a design like this? They just, I mean, so you see all those squares, are they like, okay, let's try doing it with five squares or four squares up and down. No, that's too little. Oh, let's try the six. Nope, it's gotta be five up and down. Like, how, I don't even understand how somebody would come up. I don't even understand this design. Like, how is this just massive trial and error?
Yeah, that is a very good question. I'm not entirely sure. As a mechanical engineer myself, this would be more along the lines of electrical engineering. And some of that stuff still seems like magic to me as well. I don't fully understand certain aspects of electrical engineering myself. So that would be a very good question. Something I could, again, probably try to research after this show about the history of this device.
Probably if you knew the answer, I wouldn't understand it anyway. So you could have made something up, and I would have said,
Yes. I don't want to lead you down a wrong path. So I'm going to, this is again, a Rottman's lens, and I'm going to do some research after the show, see what I can come up with, and I'll get back to you on that, because the electrical engineering stuff, not my strongest field of study either. So, but that's the point of this show. We're all learning together. We're all learning something new together.
I like Glenn in the chat, by the way, saying Roxy representing the people and our questions. That's the kind of energy we're bringing to tonight.
Exactly. Well, you see a shape like that and you're like, how'd you come up with that? Mm-hmm. What is, I mean, it wasn't a, it's not one shape. It's a lot of shapes.
Yeah.
Well, I knew when I was bringing Roxy onto the show that I was going to bring the voice of the people.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, people are just afraid to admit they don't know anything. And I am not. I don't know anything about this stuff. Nothing. I'm curious. I would love, but I don't know anything.
Hey,
and that's how honest she is. That's the best.
Exactly. That's fair. That is the whole idea behind this show, is we're all reading a science news story that we might not know everything entirely what's going on about it, but we find something that piques our interest, maybe do a little bit of research, and we learn something new today. And that's the main takeaway. If we could all learn one thing new today, then I'm going to call this show a success, for sure. But really fun story, really interesting story. I promise our next two stories will be a little easier to digest, but I couldn't resist the temptation to talk about potentially 5G microwave signals coming from cell phone towers, charging our phones, our laptops, potentially in the future. I mean, that seemed like a pretty big story to me, but I see we got a very active chat here tonight, and that's probably all thanks to Roxy Stryer being on the show.
We don't know. Who are these people? Where do they come from? Probably the 5G land.
Maybe the land of 5G. And some of us are probably using 5G right now to watch this show. So
it's true.
I wouldn't know if I was or wasn't.
But let me try to run through the chat here and just give everyone a shout. I saw we had Aiden Kosick before the show started, Glenn Caesar, of course, Jake Iacovetta giving us some great microwave facts. Sabrina Ramirez, of course, always in the chat. Andrew Thomas, welcome to the show. We have PLD back once again. Of course, Garth McMurray really simplifying some of the microwave lingo for us, which I really appreciated. I think I saw Christina Visalo in the chat here as well, and Ryan Payne. It's a lot. I don't normally have to do this many shout outs. We have a wide audience with us tonight, and Sean Wingblade also in the chat. Welcome. Thank you for joining us all to talk about the magical wonders of microwave ovens and 5G radio signals. But with all that being said, all the shout outs, guys, make sure you please like this video. If you enjoy talking science with us here every week, hit that subscribe button and that little notification bell so you don't miss a thing. And if you're watching on replay, feel free to leave a comment down below and tell me how wrong I am about all the facts about microwave ovens that I just said, because at the very least, the idea is to get a conversation going. If I can do that, then it was a pretty good day. But let's move on to our next story, and that is brain implants turn imagined handwriting into text on screen. And this one's coming from Science News as well. So electrodes in a paralyzed man's brain turned his imaginary handwriting into words typed on a screen. The translation from brain to text may ultimately point ways to help people with disabilities like paralysis communicate using their thoughts. So this is a pretty crazy story. PJ, I know we have had you on this show before to do similar stories about computers and microchips being able to read your thoughts and communicate without speaking, and all the various Black Mirror episodes we could possibly dive into on that. But this one seems like a really positive story, and I think really, really cool that we're able to do something. You know, this, you know, like I kind of have here right below me underneath the date on the show, I have science fiction without the fiction, which is something that Ryan Nielsen said on our very first show. And I just loved it. And this is exactly what I see when I look at an article like this. Really cool. I never thought that this, to me, this is always something that we'd only see in science fiction, right? So right. Roxy, I want to throw it over to you first this time. Did you have the same initial impression when you read this article about, wow, this is like something out of a science fiction movie come to life? And how do you feel overall about the positive implications of how this could help people with disabilities in the future?
So this is the stuff that I'm obsessed with. Like, you're speaking my language on this. Number one, for those of you guys who don't know, I lost my mom to brain cancer several years ago. So anything to do with the brain or any kind of advancements for people who are not able to access, who are not able to verbalize what their thoughts are or what they're thinking, is like, to me, this is where all of our money needs to be going. If you want to talk about the number one thing that I always vote on, no matter what, is more money towards brain research. It is so important, and it's going to matter to each one of us at some point in our lives, whether it affects us individually or affects our family or our friends, as we're continuing to have way more problems with the brain, not less. So, and that's not because of the microwaves, this we learned here today. I think that this is huge. And one of the scariest concepts to me is being stuck in your own body and being able to have thoughts and not being able to express those thoughts. And whatever we have to do to help those people be able to express those things, we have to do. And so any advancements in science and in the medical field when it comes to this is massive. And also, I think the article talked about how you're able to, at this point, when they were testing, they were able to get up to 15 words a minute, which is a lot of words. I mean, that's obviously when you're talking, it's not a lot of words. I've said hundreds of words, but it's a lot of words per minute when you're thinking about where this science is right now and where it can continue to go. And if somebody is able to go from being paralyzed and not able to verbalize, but still having all those thoughts, to being able to actually say what they need or have conversations, relationships, communication of any sort that is verbal or is nonverbal but is written down. I just think, what is more important than that, than helping those people who are, we would just, that was us, we would just hope that the world was good enough to take care of us. And so I love this story, but totally does feel like, wow, how is that possible? how is it possible to think something and have a computer be able to do that? That is wild to me.
It's so cool.
Yeah, it's absolutely incredible. And like you said, Roxy, 15 words per minute, just from your brain activity alone. Literally, they had a participant in this study just think about the various letters that they wanted to put together. And they were able to figure out what parts of the brain kind of like fired off, what signals went off where when you would think about certain letters, and able to transmit that into a signal that would then display this text onto a computer screen is absolutely mind-blowing to me. But and like you said, 15 words per minute, it's not a lot like for you and I if we're speaking, but they do mention in the article that the participant was a 65-year-old man. And for someone of that age, that is about the average rate of words per minute typing-wise that somebody, the average person is able to do at the age of 65 years old. So, I mean, that on it alone is pretty crazy to me. So, PJ, I want to throw it over to you next. What was your overall impression on this article? Did anything really stick out to you as particularly interesting? Do you agree with any Roxy's points that you want to maybe discuss?
Oh, I'm 100% with Roxy. And I mean, I've watched family members who have had like deteriorating mental health and stuff, and like through cancer and through different things. And I've seen people who get stuck in their bodies and they can't communicate. And that's a crazy thing. And this idea that we can actually communicate with people and they can finally say the things that they're thinking and feeling is such a big deal. Like, it's the same idea of the people who have like lost their hands and arms and they are able to get prosthetics that they can start to move and like grab things again. And the way that the brain can do that, this is the next step of that. This is the people now who can't communicate and finding a way to actually be able to talk to us again. And that's remarkable. This, I'm with Roxy. Like, this is the kind of stuff we need to put money into, because this is a real thing. And with the way that health has been, she's right. There is an uptick in like the different versions of brain cancer and things in people's mental health and their psyche. Like, we don't take mental health seriously enough as it is, and we don't take our health seriously sometimes enough as it is. And to pour money into something like this where it can help people who need it is exactly where our money needs to be going.
Yeah. Think about war veterans too. Like, yeah. We talked about, and Brandon, the article talked a lot about paralyzation, and
yeah,
a lot of people who are paralyzed are people who have risked their lives to save others for in one reason or another. And so it's huge. It's huge.
Yeah, definitely. And this technology could be used to help so many people, you know, like you guys have said. And it's just such a positive and inspirational story. Normally, when we have these types of stories, like implants and electrodes on the brain and being able to read what's on your mind, normally there's one of us always putting on a tinfoil hat about how this could go down the wrong way. But to me, this seems like such a positive story from top to bottom. And it says in the article that the scientists and the researchers are very confident that they're able to repeat these results with other people volunteering in the future, which I think is really promising. And I know that they want to try this on people who are have been unable to speak or communicate in any way. So that could be a really big, you know, breakthrough. Like for someone who can't communicate at all because of their paralysis, if you can use this technology for them to actually like communicate, that's just a complete game changer for so many people, I think. And it's such a positive story. Before we move on, I know we had looked like some issues in the chat. So maybe YouTube was having some issues.
Yeah, I think it's gotta be a YouTube thing, because I see you guys fine.
I think it's YouTube too, because I actually have the stream open and it looks like it's not on you, and it'll probably play back just fine in the future. Yeah. So if you're watching this and it's been an issue, but now you're watching on the playback, nothing happened as far as we're aware.
Well, I appreciate you guys trying to watch anyways. If you have any thoughts on this story, let us know in the live chat. And Roxy, I'd like to throw it back over to you one more time. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about this story? As you mentioned, it kind of hitting close to home for you and being something you're really passionate about.
Just that I think that nobody thinks about it until there's somebody that they love that's struggling. And that's the way the world kind of works. But with are billions and billions of dollars. There are things that you guys can do in the next time that something about this comes up on a ballot, which happens almost every election.
Yeah.
And people are trying to convince you that they don't want their tax dollars to go to brain research because of XYZ. I don't think there's a single thing more important than that. So don't take my word for it. Think for yourself, of course. But I always encourage my friends to look into these things because there's a reason why a lot of people don't want to pay for this. And it's because it doesn't affect them. But I guarantee you at some point it will. And the people who are voting are usually just not at that place in their life yet. But it will affect us all for better or for worse. And you just want to hope by the time that you get to a place where it's affecting you that we're in a better position.
Yeah.
Yeah, very well said. I think that's a very positive message, Roxy. Thank you for sharing that on the show. You know, a lot of times on this show, I try to talk about positive, inspirational stories, and a lot of the time they don't hit close to home for me. So it almost feels difficult trying to communicate it. So it's always really great to have someone on the show who's really passionate about something and can really speak on something. And I think it is really, really encouraging news. And I agree with Roxy. I encourage everyone, next time something like this shows up at the polls or you hear about it in the news, like, figure out ways that you can support this type of research, because it really goes a long way to help people in ways that you might not initially expect. So
yeah.
Very, very well said, very well put. So let's, with all the serious talk out of the way, let's move on to something that I think is a little more fun. And that is our special segment for the week. And we're going to talk about the worst types of drink for your liver, according to science. And this one comes from Yahoo Life. And of course, they do mention alcoholic beverages. We all know not particularly good for your liver. And apparently, guys, everyone's liver sucks. It's like a vacuum cleaner, and it just, you know, absorbs and sucks up all the toxins in your body. And it just can kind of get worse and worse over time if you don't take care of yourself. And so I was actually surprised to find out how soda and other beverages, and maybe even coffee, if you put too much creamer in it, too much sugar in it, can also do some damage to your liver. And as someone like me who's a big coffee drinker, I'm like, wait, am I putting too much sweetener in my coffee? Because it actually does say here in the article that if you know, put a modest amount of sugar in your coffee can actually be helpful to your liver. It could actually be beneficial because it's loaded with antioxidants that are also found in green tea that can protect your liver from certain forms of cancer, which I thought was particularly interesting. So that's kind of the stuff that really stuck out to me. PJ, I want to throw this one back over to you. Did anything in this article really stand out to you as surprising? Would you say that you've been doing a good job of taking care of your liver lately, or maybe there's some things you need to work on, cut out of your diet?
I'm really afraid that this was somehow like a meeting where you were like, we need to talk.
Like, this is an intervention, drinkervention.
No, I mean, the truth is like, I think we've all known that excessive drinking especially is like always bad for people's livers. And reading this, though, it was interesting because it was like, even just like occasionally and like a bad night bender could lead to like actual damage to your liver that I had never really thought about. But what was more interesting is that coffee is one of those things that seems to go back and forth depending on what we talk about with your health. And I tend to drink it black, and I'm like, maybe I should just be drinking black coffee all the time, because apparently it's much more helpful for your liver than I was anticipating.
Yeah, definitely. I've cut back on the amount of like sweeteners and creamers that I would normally put in my coffee, because, you know, I've been like dealing with some health stuff, going to the allergist, found out I have a gluten allergy, some sensitivities to sulfites, which are in a lot of food additives and preservatives and other things. So I try to be really careful. I put a little bit of oat milk in my coffee, a little bit of agave, sometimes too much, which might be an issue, but I'm trying to be better at it. I do love my coffee, so I hope it's doing more good than harm drinking as much coffee as I do. When it comes to my overall liver health, I was surprised to see how much sugary drinks actually can create these fat deposits on your liver that can cause health issues down the line. Thankfully, I do try to stay away from those as much as possible. But Roxy, I want to throw it over to you next. Were you surprised by anything in this article? Did you find anything encouraging from it, like me and PJ kind of did with the whole black coffee angle? What were your thoughts?
Yeah, so I've never had a sip of coffee in my life. I've never tried it.
Wow.
And I do not drink sodas at all. I haven't had one since I was a kid. Wow. But I am a boozer. I love me some booze. The thing that bothered me the most about the entire article, which I already knew, but not to this extent, was that the Center for Disease Control and Prevention defines heavy drinking as 15 drinks or more per week for men and 8 drinks or more weekly for women.
Oh, wow.
That's rude.
Oh, man.
That's rude.
They targeted you, Roxy.
They targeted you
specifically.
It feels like they came for me. But what I will say is that even though I'm a drinker by trade, I have in the last 5 years cut it out immensely from my life, because you just can't function at the level that all three of us are trying to function and be somebody who's boozing. So for no other reason, you know, a lot of people I think stop drinking that much to lose weight or to whatever. I do it because I really want to be successful. And so I for certain have less than 8 drinks a week. The World Girls doesn't help that when they make me take shots, but I always try to take that into account. And I definitely have less than 15. You guys are rude. But I thought that was interesting. And I also, the imagery of like fatty liver is so strong that I feel like, for, you know how some people watch slaughterhouse movies and will see and will become vegans? Mm-hmm. I feel like if everybody knew about what was happening when you're drinking your sugars, then I feel like that might stop some people from drinking their sugars.
No, totally. I don't disagree with that. And what's funny is like we talk about soda, like people drink it all the time. It's such a regular thing. And like it's pretty well known at this point that soda is really not good for you. But in no world did I realize it could be as bad for your liver as drinking alcohol. And that's so crazy.
Right.
Like, the damage it can do is way worse than I ever anticipated. And like I cut out soda a long time ago, like every once in a while, maybe, but it's usually like a zero sugar soda for that reason. And like now looking at it, it's like, thank God for that, because God, it's fucking awful for you.
We have to do what we have to do to protect our bodies. And this is something that, because we only get one of them. And then at some point in life, typically something happens to your body that you couldn't control. And you want to be in the best fighting shape that you can possibly be in. So when I hear things like this, I'm sure at some point I'll start drinking coffee. But if I can, I'll start drinking it black. And, you know, when you hear this about booze, you think to yourself, what do I care more about, having an extra 2 drinks a week or making sure that my liver is healthy? You know, and you have to kind of question things like that, especially as I'm about to hit 30. I'm getting up there, guys.
Don't even joke with me. You know I'm
I've got a few years left. I think I'm doing okay. But Roxy, you see, you don't drink coffee at all, but the article also mentions green tea. Are you a tea drinker?
I know. Yeah. Like insane. But I've never put a sweetener in my tea ever. Yeah. So I don't add milk or sugar or anything. I literally have my green tea right here.
Oh, there you go.
I have about 6 cups of this a day. And there's issues. Green tea is incredibly good for your health in a lot of ways. But recently I've learned some negative things, like it causes kidney stones.
Oh, wow.
It's kind of a random one. And some other things. So while it is supposed to help with a lot of stuff, all things I think have their pros and their cons.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing like you just were talking about with coffee. But I think the best way to drink it, if you're going to drink it, is just to not put a ton of sugar in it or even, you know, honey. I love honey in general, but I stopped putting it. I don't put it into my tea because I like tea just the way it is.
Yeah. I mean, and it's like even with the sports drinks, because I almost always, like anyone who's watched any of my streams, I always have a sports drink. I'm always drinking Powerade and stuff. But I even got to like the zero sugar ones for that same reason, because this stuff is so bad for you.
Yeah.
It's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm definitely someone I probably consume a little more sugar than I should. I used to consume a lot more sugar.
Yeah.
So it's always great to have a reminder to cut back. But it does say here that drinking 2 extra cups of coffee a day was associated with a 43% reduced risk of liver cancer. So, I mean, that's a little promising for me, because I drink about 2 cups of coffee a day, sometimes more.
That's even with a crazy stat.
Yeah. I mean, 43% just by drinking 2 cups of coffee a day, that's, you know, a little bit of coffee going a long way, I think.
Yeah. Wow. That's wild. Maybe I should start. But then also, how much does it contribute to the bill that you have to pay to get your teeth whitened? This is right. These are the questions.
That's true. It's very acidic. It's my enamel on my teeth. It's like I use Sensodyne, you know, when I can. But it's, you got to protect your enamel, guys. Don't be eating.
Everything's different. Like everything, there's like a cause and effect for almost everything. Roxy was right earlier. Like there's pros to everything, just like there's cons to everything. Like everything has that coin flip, right?
The only thing that doesn't seem to, truthfully, is soda. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think anybody's writing home about the positive effects of soda. unless you are malnourished. And then there's a quick way to get
fat something. And like putting weight on it. Yeah. Because I mean, it's amazing how much weight you lose just getting off of soda. If you don't drink it anymore and you were drinking it regularly, you'll notice it very quickly. I'm not speaking from experience, but I'm just saying.
No, it's crazy. As I said, that there was no upside to it. I was literally thinking about when we were trying to put weight on my mom, or right now I'm trying to put weight on my grandfather. And it's like everything that the three of us are trying to avoid when you're like, okay, we're going into hot girl summer, let's go, is everything you think to give them. It's like, I feel like I'm in Mean Girls, like carbs and butter.
Oh, yeah. But,
yes.
Or like that one bar that she says is for dieting, exactly. But it's putting on weight.
Yeah.
that's the jam right now.
And garlic bread, all the garlic bread, Scott Pilgrim style. Bread makes you fat.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Fortunately for me, I do love bread, but I am trying to be as gluten-free as possible now. And alcohol is also very high in sulfites, which gives me an upset stomach. So I can only have about one drink before I start to get a little bit of a stomach ache, get a little bit nauseous on my second to third drink. So nature is the universe as a whole has decided that my liver is going to be as safe as possible because my health limitations are preventing me from drinking too much. So there is a silver lining.
Does it make a difference for you what kind of alcohol?
That's a good question. I haven't really experimented too much. I know like hard seltzers like White Claw, they claim to be sulfite free, so those would probably be the easiest on my stomach. Something that also has gluten in it, like a beer or like a whiskey or something like that, is probably the worst.
If I have, like, all those one whiskey drink, like Tito's is gluten free, right? There's a lot of different liquors that are gluten free.
So those would probably be like in the middle. If they're like high in sulfites but don't have any gluten, it's like, okay, I can have that.
I'll think about how we can get you drunk safely.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is us getting ready for when we're all together again. How do we get Brandon drunk?
If you can get me drunk before I get nauseous, that would be a huge victory. That would be very impressive.
I've got you. And I have a few substances that can help with the nausea too, just in case.
Oh, I know where.
Pepto-Bismol, baby.
There you go, Pepto-Bismol. It's all right. You know, they got different flavors now, you know. It's more than just that chalky.
No, you don't need anything more than just that chalky. That's the good stuff.
Yeah. All righty, guys. Well, before this what was once a positive message about health goes right down the drain into a negative message about how not to be healthy, I think it's just about time we've wrapped this show up for today. Thank you all so much for joining in the live chat. If some of you are still with us, despite YouTube issues, really appreciate you all being here. Hit that like button if you haven't done so already. And if you have made it all the way through and had a lot of fun, subscribe to the channel. It would be great to see you join us here every week with various different hosts. If you're fans of PJ, if you're fans of Roxy, like, hope you've become somewhat of a fan of me. But thank you both so much for joining me on camera today. This show was a lot of fun and very educational. So let's throw it over to you first, PJ. Where can the good people find you online?
You guys can find me on Twitter and Instagram at PJ underscore Campbell. You can find me at the PJ Campbell Network. We do all sorts of stuff over there, like watch alongs and box and all sorts of really fun stuff. If you haven't checked it out, go and, you know, see if you like it. Subscribe. We just hit 600 subscribers. You guys rock. And you can find me at the Movie Trivia Showdown, where I write the questions. Hey, be nice to the writers. We're only human. I love you guys.
All right, guys, go check out PJ. 600 subscribers, you said? Well, that's, guys, come on, help me get up there. I want to compete with PJ a little bit.
Get up here, man.
Help me out. But yeah, thank you so much for being on the show once again, PJ.
Anytime,
and Roxy,
man.
Stryer, thank you so much for joining us here for the first time ever. I hope you've had enough fun to want to come back sometime. Until then, where can the good people watching find you online?
I can't believe you'll have me back after asking what a microwave was. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. Also on the World Girls every Wednesday and Sunday, where we give things a whirl. So if you liked hearing me ask questions that make me look real stupid and silly, then you will certainly love what we do over there.
All righty. No, you asked great questions today, Roxy. Hey, and that, asking what a microwave is, I didn't really have the best answer in the world, so it couldn't have been that bad of a question if I had a little bit of difficulty trying to word it right. But then again, I word a lot of things weirdly. So if you're all listening to me, you're just going to have to deal with it anyway. I'm, of course, your host, Brandon Hanna, by the way. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at BrandonHanna07. If you're already here, you found my YouTube channel for the third time now. Please hit that subscribe button. Help me beat PJ Campbell. Help me get to 600 subscribers. It would absolutely mean a lot.
Don't make me the villain in this. Don't do that.
PJ is the villain, guys. He's the villain.
Ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen. That kind of villain, right? Hans Gruber.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. I could see you as a Hans Gruber type for
just
sure.
Just had an anxiety attack because I was like, are we starting SCN? That's how it starts every day.
And of course, guys, also I do have a patreon.com/BrandonHanna. If you feel like going and checking that out, it would be really great to have your support over there as well. So with all that being said, that wraps up today's show. I hope you all learned something. I know I sure did. I know PJ and Roxy, I hope you did as well. It was a really great show. Super awesome to have you here. And as always, guys, thank you for taking time out of your day for this moment.